As sure as his resurrection, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
He meets us here, not just an empty cross, not just an empty tomb, but the very risen Christ himself, the one who is the resurrection and the life.
We'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon on Job for any size gift during the 50 days of Easter. Make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support during the Easter season.
The modern left has grown tired of debate. Their new strategy is simply to try to silence their critics.
When the local evangelical pastor gets up and ends his prayer with a reference to Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, that moment in the parade of pluralism is offensive.
Sin essentially is high treason against the king, against the sovereign.
Your sins are forgiven. Though you're a rotten, damned sinner of the law, Jesus came for such sinners. Jesus loves sinners. Jesus comes only for sinners. Jesus dwells in sinners. Jesus is for you. You're forgiven.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
Well, it came and then it didn't happen, and there was a great fervor in the media, and I imagine it really did stir up some people, not only curiosity, but also a little bit of indignation. A satanic black mass at, of all places, Harvard University. Now, this is a place of quite broad academic freedom. A culture club there simply says what they wanted to do is explore alternate viewpoints, worldviews, and especially minority viewpoints that tend to be poo-pooed in society. So they wanted to have a satanic black mass. What's the big deal? Now, if you look into what a satanic black mass is, if you do it correctly, I don't even know if that's the proper term, it's going to offend Roman Catholics. It's going to concern them. It might even, it might even make them a little angry. Of course, it didn't happen, but how did the media cover the mass before it was scheduled to happen? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 14th of May. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. George Conger of GetReligion.org will join us for the first few minutes to talk about that and media bias reporting on African Christians. Pam Fichter will be our guest in about 15 minutes. We'll be talking about an abortion waiting period bill that was passed by the Missouri Senate, and that was done as a matter of compromise, a little give here, a little give there. We'll also talk about an economic development bill in Missouri that doesn't have protective language to prevent taxpayer funding for human cloning and embryonic stem cell research. A little bit later, Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith joins us. He recently debated a principal speaker and pastor in the Hebrew Roots movement about keeping the Sabbath. We'll talk about the Hebrew Roots movement, what it's all about. Then we're going to review a sermon preached Sunday by Pastor David Peterson, a regular guest here on the program, preaching on sorrow, joy, and motherhood. And we'll round everything off in the last few minutes of these 2 hours of Issues Etc., talking with Dr. Paul Meyer, professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University, about the reported discovery of a first century Jewish synagogue in Galilee where Jesus may have taught. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Joining us to talk about media coverage of a satanic black mass at Harvard, George Conger. He formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, welcome back.
Hello, Todd.
You ask parenthetically, where are the academic grown-ups at Harvard these days? What do you mean by that question? Why do you ask it?
Well, it's a question I would ask of the Harvard administration. I'd ask it of the Catholic Church, and I'd ask it a lot of the newspapers in Boston, who basically took a student stunt, a political stunt, and elevated it into near mass hysteria for some people in the internet, talking about satanic rituals and satanic black masses and all this stuff without ever asking the question, what are the Satanists at Harvard up to? What sort of Satanists are they? And the answer to that question is that they're atheists who use the term Satanism to be provocative. They're not devil worshippers. They're atheists. And they were having a great deal of fun in trying to make a political statement about, I don't know what about, but about something. And this whole story took on a life of its own, and I can't blame the press on one level because, you know, Satanism sells newspapers. It gets people excited. We have movies like The Exorcist and things like that. But nobody began this issue by asking the hard question, what are these people doing that merits the claim of Satanism? And that never was asked.
Now, at least according to the press coverage of the event, it obviously was canceled, but was scheduled to be held at an on-campus bar at Harvard University. It was a Harvard Students Culture Club that was planning this thing. So that's why you call it a student stunt?
Well, yes, and actually it was a Harvard Extension student club. Now, you have to understand the Extension program at Harvard is a continuing education non-degree program, where anybody, if they want to pay the money, can sign up and take Harvard classes. So as much as I'd like to, rain on Harvard's parade, this wasn't Harvard undergraduates. This was the continuing ed program, adult education program. And they've put together a series of events showcasing minority religions. They're going to have a Shinto tea ceremony, Buddhist meditation. They're going to recreate a Shaker ceremony. Shakers, of course, are a Christian group that have sort of passed dead into history. And then they decided they were going to have a black mass. Well, the problem is there's no such thing as a black mass in history. It's only a lurid fictional device. And specifically, they said they were going to use the black mass found in a 19th century French novel called Le Bas, The Damned, which is basically, all the novel is an anti-Catholic diatribe. And let's think of it in this way. What if they were going to, this group is putting together a satanic mass based on a fictional work, holding it along with a bunch of other religious ceremonies. So first the question I would ask to Harvard is, do you really want to include in this religion series a made-up faith, not even a real faith, but something that was found in a French gothic horror novel? Next week, are they going to have a Harry Potter, which is in Warlock service, and is that going to get the evangelicals all upset? In other words, it starts off on a false premise, and then it goes on that these Satanists are devotees of a fellow called Anton LaVey, came out of the 60s in California and the Bay Area, San Francisco. And he is an atheist. He's now deceased. And he created the Church of Satan, and he's a rather creepy-looking fellow who his picture sort of helped sell that little movement. And what he did is he chose the name Satan as an anti-God statement. He's closer to Nietzsche than he is to any sort of demonic devil-worshipping. And so here you have a group that's also involved. These are the same people who want to put up a monument in front of the Oklahoma State House to Satan, which, again, they're not worshiping Satan. They are making fun of organized religion. And this story entered the press. It got its life when the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Boston put out a statement, if you will, hyperventilating about the fact, oh, were they going to desecrate a consecrated Eucharistic host, the bread, which in Catholic teaching they believe contains the real presence of the body of Jesus Christ. And this group said, oh, yes, we will. Oh, no, we won't. Oh, yes, we will. But basically, these are kids. These are young adults who are having a great deal of fun jerking the chain of the Catholic Church and the press over what essentially nothing.
So you're saying
that's the question where the grown-ups are.
That was the story. The story was it makes the story much, much smaller. You know, some Harvard adjunct students are just trying to generate a story disconnected from the real history of Satanism, disconnected from the real history, such as it is, of the so-called Black Mass.
It's a stunt. And I, to be frank, I have questions why the Roman Catholic Church even, you know, bothered to get all worked up about this, because they just gave wonderful publicity to a student group and a political group who are having fun. You know, if I were a 21-year-old, 22-year-old kid who wanted to sort of gain, you know, garner the limelight, man, this is the fastest way to the headlines I can possibly think of. It's, I don't mean to be dismissive of the theological feelings of Catholics and others who believe in the real presence in the Eucharist, but again, the press automatically made this assumption that if they indeed had a consecrated host, it was a Catholic consecrated host, and therefore, ipso facto, the body of Christ is present. In other words, the press came into this with a very binary view. Either we're ultramontane Roman Catholics who believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ, or we're devil worshippers who are trying to invoke Beelzebub by using this consecrated real presence of Jesus Christ. And to me, it just looks from the beginning to the end to be a total publicity stunt.
There's something else that you have written about, and that has to do with how the media is covering Christianity in Africa. Shall we call it media blinders or an inability to see the context of their story? What are we talking about here, George?
Well, we have an ongoing problem about Western U.S. in particular, newspapers, magazines, television, covering Africa from an American perspective. In other words, an event will take place, and the Africans will say what they think this means, but an American newspaper, American reporter, will look through this thing and then find the one hook that may interest an American audience, and then sort of spin the story along those lines, when in reality that has little to nothing to do with what's taking place. I'll give you a recent example. In the Anglican world, we have a very stark division between traditionalist conservatives, who are primarily found in Africa and in Asia, and the liberal churches in the United States, Canada, and England. And the conservatives held a meeting in London, their archbishops, and they put out a statement, a long, complex statement, where each of the individual churches from Nigeria, Uganda, South America, so on and so forth, spoke about the individual issues they're facing. Then they closed up the statement saying, but as a communion, here are the issues we're facing, and we Africans are telling you, Archbishop of Canterbury, don't go soft on gay marriage. So the statement from an African perspective was on gay marriage. Well, the Religion News Service read this, and they went down through all the individual little things that each province talks about, and the Ugandans said, we don't like the fact that we're being beaten up over our political system, which has just introduced these anti-gay laws. Well, the American RNS story was written over, you know, conservative Anglicans back Ugandan anti-gay laws and challenge to Canterbury and this and that, totally misconstruing the whole purpose of this statement. Not only do they get it wrong, they got it diametrically opposed. You know, I don't know how to, I shouldn't get annoyed, but Western reporters have a history of cherry-picking individual words, phrases, and sentences out of statements made by cultures not of their own, and then twisting it to accommodate their own cultural views. And we see this particularly in the reporting on Christianity in Africa, because if you're not a Christian in the form that is immediately recognizable to a New York Times reporter of some sort of liberal mainstream Christianity, then you are a nut or a kook, or you have to be sort of managed to conform to a worldview that is here in the United States.
Finally, with only about a minute, what's the solution to that? What's the solution to reporters who, as you seem to be saying, fundamentally misunderstand the broad spectrum of Christianity and therefore force Christians of other cultures into that very narrow mold of theirs? How do you remedy that problem?
Well, I think you remedy it by, in part, employing reporters who know what they're writing about. In other words, There was a recent statistic that the political affiliation of American reporters, 2001 or two, 22% were Republicans. Now it's 10, 15 years later, only 7% identify themselves as Republicans. The newsrooms of the United States are the most uniform, except for universities. And the Episcopal Church hierarchy. I can't think of a more uniform groupthink organization than newsrooms. They don't have people, they don't hire people, they don't bring them forward, they don't promote them, who know worldviews other than their own. I think you really need to question this liberal lock on the reporter's world, because it's not doing justice to the truth and to the realities of the world outside of Manhattan.
George Conger formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Pam Fichter, president of Missouri Right to Life. We'll be talking with her about an abortion waiting period that has been passed, that's good news, passed by the Missouri Senate, and another concern about taxpayer funding for human cloning and embryonic stem cell research.
T-shirts, shorts, sun. Get in shape this spring at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Get A-Fit this spring at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.